The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and joining us this morning are our two biologists in charge of not only the deer program, that would be Brian Eiler, but also the bear program, and that would be Harry Spiker. They're joining us here from the reaches of Western Maryland. Where's your office, Brian?
Washington County, Clear Spring.
Clear Spring. Yep. Where's your office, sir?
Garrett County.
Oakland. Yep. So they drove all the way down here to join us and pre-record this show for your enjoyment today. So first hour, if you missed it, we talked about the bear lottery, which is now open, of course, and people are planning their bear hunts and so forth. We talked a little bit about that, about the bear population. We'll hear a little more from Harry later. But right now we want to talk to Brian about some things that are concerning to deer hunters out there. And, you know, that would be things that we hear about in the news, and sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't, and that would be some of the deer diseases that we have.
Right.
Okay, so there's a myriad of things.
I mean,
it's not just one or two things that affect our deer.
No, there's a lot of different things. Luckily, none of them have major population consequences for deer. Our deer are really resilient, and they can bounce back.
No question.
The two most common that you hear in the news the most are hemorrhagic disease or blue tongue.
Right.
And CWD or chronic wasting disease.
Right.
And
right.
CWD especially really makes the news.
Is there a difference in blue tongue and EHD?
It's just a different strain of the virus.
How many different strains are there?
Oh, my. There's probably 10 to a dozen
altogether.
Yeah.
And it's all spread by one?
There's a couple of blue tongue virus strains, and then there's probably six or more hemorrhagic
HD,
strains.
So. All by the bite of a little blood-sucking bug.
Yeah, all by the bite of a noceum or a... Or a gnat.
Gnat. And when you, I've said this before during the course of the show, you know, I travel a lot on the shore, and we got hit hard in Talbot, Dorchester County a couple of years ago.
Right.
It looks to me again like the conditions are pretty ripe this year for another hit.
It's hard to say. You know, there's been scientists that have looked at that, and you can't really pin down. There's some thought that if you have a mild winter and a drought, you know, if you have a mild winter, more of those gnats
can
survive.
Yeah.
And then if you have a drought, the limited water congregates deer and around those water sources and mud that's left. And then so that it's exposed.
That's where the gnats are and that's where the deer are.
But they haven't really been able to definitely say that's the case.
Yeah.
But the best thing I can tell you is it's cyclic. So we'll have a big outbreak. And it's typically not uniform across the state. Like you said, we had a hot spot down, you know, in the Trap, Preston area a couple years ago. And it hit hard.
I mean, no question.
It probably killed over, you know, 25% of the deer in some localized areas.
Yeah.
And it showed up in the harvest. The harvest dropped.
Oh, yeah.
But now, you know, you may not see another outbreak there for 5 years. It just depends. And the deer bounce back very quickly.
I mean, I've been around long enough. We got hit hard in Southern Maryland. We got hit hard in the Chester River area, Queen Anne's, Kent County area. I mean, it's just like you say.
It moves around. The only place it really doesn't have a major impact, it seems, is in the western part of Maryland. And we do see it out there.
Sure.
But not like we see in Southern Maryland or the Eastern Shore.
Right. But more water. Born areas, so
climate. Yeah, winter probably plays a part in it too. But yeah, you know, I mean, it causes a high fever in the deer. So a lot of times, you know, we'll get the call, hey, this deer was floating in my pond. Or a lot of times it'll be a farmer that goes out to pick their beans or corn, and there's 20 dead deer laying in the field. And it's around this time of the year, typically, mm-hmm. you know, August, September, that we typically see it.
Yeah.
You get a frost, kills the gnats, the disease
goes away.
So, yeah.
This is mid-August. Hear anything yet?
I have not, no. It's been, you know, we have not had any confirmed cases, maybe one or two suspicious cases.
Okay.
We'll try to get deer and take them to, we cooperate with the Maryland Ag Department.
Right.
They have a lab where they can test mainly for farm animals. But they'll do necropsies for us. So when we can get a fresh enough sample, we'll take it to them.
Right.
And they'll do the testing. So we haven't had any yet that we've submitted for testing.
All right. That's EHD.
That's EHD or blue tongue.
Blue tongue. Yeah. All right.
We mostly get the VHD or EHD strains in Maryland.
And I think last time or one time we talked to you, that you guys, the lab had identified two or three, four different strains here in Maryland.
Yeah, and it changes from year to year. It's kind of funny.
You know,
one year you may see one strain and the next year maybe a different strain.
Got it.
But yeah, like I said, no long-term consequences. You may, if you have an outbreak, you may see your hunting go down. You know, your observations go down for a year or two. But typically, they
come right back. Well, nature abhors a vacuum. If you got the cover of the food and the water,
right. They're
going to fill that back.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
Got it.
So,
CWD.
Yeah. So chronic wasting disease. That's the one that really makes the news, and the reason is
zombie deer.
Exactly. I mean, all this stuff does not help. All this sensationalism of it, but
kind of like frankenfish.
Like snakeheads. Same deal. You got to sell newspapers. So,
right.
But no, CWD is in the same family as mad cow.
Mad cow,
humans are susceptible to mad cow.
Yeah, right.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. So that's why you got to treat CWD a little different.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Or variant CJD is the human version of that.
Yeah.
But it's not a virus, it's not a virus or a bacteria, it's a protein. It's actually just a mutated protein.
Called a prion.
Prion, right. And there's all kinds of different prion diseases. Scrapie and sheep.
Yep.
You know, there's a cat version.
Really? Didn't know there was a cat version.
Mink.
Really?
Yeah, you know, so there's these different prion diseases.
Man, you're smart.
No, I just but anyway, so yeah, so the deer version of this prion disease is chronic.
Bears don't get that, do they?
Not that we're aware of. Bears
right.
Don't say never.
Don't say never. Right.
But it's been around since the 60s.
Right.
You know, it was first found or first identified in Colorado. It slowly moved east. It jumped to Mississippi back in the early 2000s. Normally, the Mississippi River serves as a pretty good barrier. And when that happened, then that's when it started to be more noticed.
Right.
And that's when it started to make the news.
Right.
We have it in Maryland, long story short. West Virginia found it in 2005 out in Hampshire County, real close to Allegheny County. We found it in, it was early 2011. It was a deer that was killed in 2010. And we've been sampling for the disease since the late 90s.
How many deer do you sample every year? Ballpark.
Between 500 and 1,000.
Yeah.
It just depends on the year.
I mean, I used to sample when I was hunting, like the managed hunts. They would sample during the managed hunts.
Right. When we first started out, we were sampling statewide. We would do like 50 samples in the north and per county and 30 samples. When West Virginia found it, we decided, we would better pay closer attention out there. So we've been focusing out there. We're probably going to do statewide sampling again here sometime in the future.
Yeah.
But right now, just to try to keep hunters educated so they can make a decision, not telling them not to hunt out there, because there's no evidence that suggests that humans are susceptible.
Right.
But we feel, you know, we need to keep hunters educated so they can make a decision themselves whether they want to hunt where we have the disease.
Right.
52 positives so far.
Since
2011.
Since
2010, we've had 52 positives. Ever since we started sampling back in the early 2000s, we've tested over 10,000 deer for it. So 52 out of 10,000.
Out of that many, yeah.
But,
it's fascinating. It's you actually, when they sample a deer, they make a cut where in the axis bone somewhere in the back of the head and pull lymph nodes out.
Yeah, we do lymph nodes and the obex, so like the base of the brain stem.
Base of the brain stem.
Yeah, lymph nodes, retropharyngeal lymph nodes, are actually the better test that shows up in the lymph nodes before it shows up in the brainstem.
Okay.
So we typically do both.
Got it.
But yeah, it's just a real quick test. Put it in form.
You're not going to get your deer mounted off after that.
No. So we always avoid that 180. Yeah, we always avoid that 180 BNC. You know,
big smile.
Yeah. But yeah, so you got to be careful on that. You can still get the sample, but you got to wait until after the taxidermist has done their work.
So
we're sure of not to mess up somebody's mouth when we're collecting samples.
I got it.
Yeah, so it's here to stay. It's in Allegheny County. It's in Washington County.
Okay.
We expanded the disease management area this year to all of Washington because we did find it near Clear Spring, actually near my office, which is Harvest Management Unit 251.
You probably drug it in there on your boots.
Yeah, I think it's coming on its own. So all of Washington County, all of Allegheny County are now in the disease management area. So what that means from a hunting standpoint is just remember, if you harvest a deer in those two counties, you can't take the whole deer out of those counties with those high risk parts being the brainstem, the spinal column, that stuff, unless you're going to one of our approved processors or taxidermists. Otherwise, you need to quarter the deer there, leave those high-risk parts behind.
Behind, okay.
Pennsylvania has recently enacted a ban on all Maryland.
All Maryland deer.
And not just Maryland, any state that has CWD. They won't let a whole deer come in from anywhere.
You got to have it boned out, basically. We have one of our advertisers up in Cecil County who does, I guess they do the processing in Pennsylvania, and they break them down.
They break them down in Maryland. I remember we talked about that last year. Yeah. So supply and demand, you may see more of
doing that.
See more of that.
No question.
It's just a tough, CWD is a tough one, just because there is that.
Why all the press? Just because it's dramatic?
Just to sell newspapers. I think just to sell newspapers.
I mean, you got people like QDMA making statements, and you got like, is it North Carolina that's banned urine-based scents?
Yeah, and there's other states that have banned urine.
Yeah.
Virginia prions are in urine. It's probably a low risk, but you can't say no risk. There is risk associated with natural
urine. Did you read the reply by the people that manufactured tinks?
I did, yeah.
On the Outdoor Wire?
Yeah, okay. I did. So that's controversial.
Very controversial. Hey, let's talk about crabbing. I know we're talking about hunting. I get it. But there's still plenty of crabbing left, and probably pretty good crabbing depending on where you go. The crabs are shed a few times. They're getting bigger. And I want to talk about Kent Island's crabbing headquarters, which is Chesapeake Outdoors, our sponsor. Crab pots, traps, nets, ready-to-go trot lines, trot line components as well, crab bait, seasoning, steamers. They still sell those stainless steel steamers. It'll be the last steamer you ever own. Great steamer made right here in Maryland. Licenses, of course, ramp permits. They do have their own Chesapeake Outdoors t-shirt. They carry the Grundens line. If you want to wear the boots and the rain gear and the apparel and look like a waterman, you can buy some of that stuff right there at Chesapeake Outdoors. Costa sunglasses and Yeti coolers and everything else you need for fishing anywhere in Maryland. Bows, arrows, and archery equipment, as well as firearms, muzzle loaders, and hunting supplies. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, right there in Kent Island. That's a Dominion Road exit. You'll see the big sign on the highway. Take the next exit, and you are right in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, you want to talk about crabbing? Okay, we'll talk about crabbing. But we'll talk about it here in Baltimore with Clyde's Sport Shop. Clyde's has everything you could need, want, or imagine. They are your crabbing headquarters here in Baltimore. They carry the Pasadena crab traps, the low-profile traps, the topless traps. And those topless traps, guys, they're really stacked right there at Clyde Sports Shop. Trot lines and supplies, tarred line, Loctite nylon if you want that, snoods, bait bags, floats, baskets and lids. They've got all that, the measures, the tongs, the gloves, the mallets. They have their own crab seasoning and steamers, cloth and wire crab rings and nets, crab hotels, commercial crab. You get the idea. They sell everything for crabbing. I mean, what else do I say? If it begins with crabs, they got it at Clyde's. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. Phone 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Or check out that 24-hour hotline, 247-3474. 247-FISH. Tell you where the fish are biting. Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be back right after this. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
I fish. I also clean local waterways so others can fish and swim. I help build public boat ramps for easy access to the water. I provide fishing and water safety education for kids. I maintain a healthy fish population so tomorrow's anglers can enjoy a catch. I prevent unwanted species from spreading into waters where they don't belong. I restore the condition of rivers to help fish and wildlife thrive. I fund long-term plans to protect our lakes and streams. I do all of these things and more, all because I buy a fishing license. When you buy a fishing license, you do a lot. In fact, every dollar from a license purchase protects and maintains your local waterways for future generations to enjoy. To learn more about how you can get your fishing license, go to takemefishing.org. That's takemefishing.org.
From time to time, you will hear various contests on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Here are the generic rules for all WCBM contests. You must be 21 years of age or over to enter. There is no purchase necessary. You will find a complete and more specific set of contest rules at our website, WCBM.com. Thanks for playing and listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with DNR Wildlife and Heritage Service deer guy and bear guy, Brian Eiler and Harry Spiker, respectively. We're going to continue a little bit with the deer diseases with Brian and something to, you know, kind of watch out for. And then we'll end up this show with Harry. We're going to talk a little bit about techniques for bear hunting. So we'll get into techniques for deer hunting with you at a later date.
Yep.
So, okay, we covered EHD, blue mm-hmm. tongue. We covered CWD pretty
right.
much. And you talked about, you know, having to leave the carcasses.
Carcasses. Right.
Yeah,
parts,
the brain.
The high-risk parts.
Right. So, yeah. But there are other deer diseases, too. You know, if you watch online, you see all kinds of stuff. Now,
right.
One recently came up with a deer that was loaded with fibromas.
Right. That's probably one of the most common reports we get.
A fibroma.
It is the most common report.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's fibroma. Wrong with this deer? It's got tumors all over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And your response is?
It's not that uncommon. It can look really bad, depending on how many they have.
Yeah.
But it's not contagious to humans, doesn't affect the meat, not contagious to other deer.
What is it?
Flies transmit it.
Virally. Really?
Yeah. So.
Is it a bacteria, virus?
Virus.
It's a virus.
Yeah.
A fibroma is a virus.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't cause, you know, any health issues with the deer unless it gets to the point where it's covering
eyes and nose
yeah.
et
cetera.
And that can happen.
That can happen.
Can
get to that point.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they can, you know, they can live a normal, productive life with those. And like I said, it's not that uncommon. The really bad cases are fairly rare. You know,
yeah.
You'll get some that are just terrible looking.
Yeah.
But
and those deer typically may not survive.
They may not.
And you'll never
know,
see them again
right,
because the predators
right,
will take care of
right.
them.
Right. But we always get the question, is it contagious to
yeah.
other deer? And
no,
it's
the
not
answer
contagious.
Is no. We actually, you actually told me years ago that it can go away.
As far as I know, they can recover, and yeah, it can go
because,
away. I don't know how often that happens.
Well, I don't know either. We had one in Montgomery County that looked pretty bad. It was not, I mean, it looked bad on the sides.
Right.
It was a fibroma on the sides where it had been bitten and so forth. And later on during the season, in the muzzleloader firearm season, I saw that deer again that had different colored patches of fur
yeah.
where it had, you know, the fibromas had gone away
okay.
and but left
yeah.
marks, you know,
right.
where you could see
right.
it. So.
And it could be an individual deer. Some deer
may do
recover,
it, may
some
do.
Deer
exactly.
may,
exactly.
may not.
Exactly.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's the most common.
Then we've got the real fun one, which is nasal bots.
Right. Nasal bots. A lot, you know.
Why do I hear this deer? Why am I hearing a deer coughing and
yeah.
sneezing in the woods?
Someone shoots a deer, hangs it, dresses it, and
now
comes back out, and there's these ugly-looking larvae, worm-looking things laying underneath of it. And,
yeah.
yeah. And that's just nasal bots. So
it's a
fly. Sinuses, a fly.
Fly yeah. laid eggs in the sinuses.
Yep.
That's
yep.
it. Nasal bots.
Yeah, and there's a lot more deer out there with them, and you just have no idea that they're even carrying them. You
right.
know? But every now and then we'll get a call. What are these horrible things that came out of my deer?
Yeah. Bullwinkle nose.
Bullwinkle nose, that's an interesting one. We just had a report of bullwinkle nose. So it literally looks like bullwinkle.
Big
swelled snout.
Yep.
We had two in southern Maryland probably 10 years ago that I managed to collect. We sent them to a disease lab in Georgia. And they could not pinpoint what bacteria was causing that, but there is some kind of infection causing that inflammation.
It's basically in the teeth and jawline or something, is it?
Well,
I mean, you talk about impacted.
Don't confuse lumpy jaw.
Lumpy jaw.
Bullwinkle.
Yeah,
deer.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullwinkle deer, the whole snout.
The whole snout.
Well,
I've
it
seen,
literally looks like a moose.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, that one we're not sure what bacteria causes.
Okay.
Lumpy jaw is where it looks like they have a softball.
In their face.
Yeah. And that's an impact, food impaction, arterial worms block blood flow and food and
gets impacted.
Irritated.
In
food
the,
gets impacted and it looks like they have a baseball or a softball. Maybe both sides, may just be one side.
Wow.
That's not
very,
uncommon.
Very
well, not uncommon.
Not uncommon, really?
Okay. Normally see at least a one report every year.
Okay.
Of that. Yeah. That's lumpy jaw is
all right.
Is the common name of it.
Circling disease.
So, yeah, so there's two different circling disease, brain abscesses and whitetails. really common on the eastern shore. It's caused by a bacteria.
Kind of like the epicenter for the world, isn't it?
Yeah, we probably have as high a prevalence as anywhere.
Kent, Cecil.
See it up and down the east coast.
Yeah.
But we, for whatever reason, especially Kent County, upper shore,
yeah,
we see a lot of that. It's bacteria. Brain causes issues in the brain. You know, you get literally get an abscess.
Abscess in the brain,
the
separates the brain, the bones, yep, and the seams in the brain,
yep,
the stitches, sutures,
yeah,
whatever you call them.
Yeah. Yep. And, deer may lose all fear of humans. Sometimes they'll be walking in
antlers are loose.
Yeah, a lot. And, if you harvest a deer and there's a bunch of pus and it stinks like crazy around the base of the antler, that's most often a brain abscess.
Brain abscess.
We occasionally see it in females.
Really?
But it seems like it's more common in males, probably because, with rubbing and just behavior differences.
Well, it's a soil-based thing, isn't it?
Well, the bacteria,
yeah,
are soil,
trees endemic in the population.
And almost every deer carries those bacteria. If you do a nasal swab, it's not that uncommon to find that bacteria, but it's just when it gets into the brain that it causes that
fighting,
issue.
Rubbing.
That may enhance, cause.
I mean, the deer takes an antler point, it's going to get infection.
Right,
in the brain.
Right. It's not that the bacteria is that rare, it's just it's uncommon for it to get into the brain and cause those issues. The other circling disease, and we see that occasionally in Sika deer, and that's more of an elk disease, and snails, and I just went blank on...
And what?
I just went blank on the official name of it.
So, oh, okay.
Brainworm.
Okay.
Brainworm. We don't see in whitetail deer.
Okay.
But we have had a couple cases in Sika deer. It's more of an elk-based disease, so that makes sense why we would see it in Sika deer.
I got it.
But that's carried. Snails play a role in that.
Snails.
Yeah. So if
do they eat the snails?
Yeah. If a Sika deer happens to ingest a snail,
really?
And it's a lot of same symptoms as brain abscess.
Yeah.
As far as.
But it's
But it's more Sika based, more serve us that family.
Got it.
Okay. So, yeah. Right. Those are the most common ones.
Okay.
The most common is the Buick disease, where they get bumped by a car.
The Buick disease.
Yeah.
That's a big...
We get those calls all the time, and we run on those calls.
Talk a little bit about acidosis and what causes acidosis.
So acidosis is just an interference in the rumination. Deer are ruminants.
The four stomachs like
four
a cow.
Four stomachs, right. They have bacteria. Right. So,
okay. And what kind of interference are we talking about? A year-round diet of corn?
Yeah. So, everybody wants to feed and everybody wants to bait and they think they're doing a good thing. But, our deer didn't evolve on corn.
Right.
So there can be issues with acidosis.
When's the switch from mast and agriculture crops to more of a browse, more of a, sticks and buds and things like that?
Late winter. Somewhere in that area.
So stop feeding the corn after deer season
or near the middle. Or don't feed at all.
Don't feed at all. You're a big advocate of not feeding deer. I know that.
I've hunted over bait, and I still think there's times to hunt over bait, but I think we use a lot more bait than we would need to, and I think we've made a lot of deer more nocturnal.
Probably right.
And probably are hurting our hunting more than we're helping our hunting.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Not to change subjects.
Acidosis is interfering with the natural
rumination process.
Rumination and acidosis causes a deer to lose weight and
kill them.
Yeah.
Not saying it's widespread and happening everywhere, but it is a negative impact. But there's a lot of negative impacts to feeding too much.
A lot of deer, are affected fatally by corn piles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but by more than one reason.
Muzzleloader balls, rifle balls, lead toxicity. Yeah. Yes, broadheads.
But our archery hunter survey, we do an archery hunter survey every year, we ask hunters just to record everything they see, it's actually for Harry's fur bearer stuff more than the deer stuff.
Right.
But we ask, were you baiting or not? And our hunters consistently report they see more deer when they're not baiting than when they do bait, especially bucks.
Okay.
We talked about acorns and oak when you were talking with Harry.
I
always tell hunters,
find an oak ridge.
Look for that natural food first. Pay attention to the wind. Yep. Put yourself in the right place at the right time before you worry with just going out there with a 5-gallon bucket of corn.
I agree. Very good. Very good. So, is there anything else you want to tell us, Brian? I mean, this will be your last segment. Anything other you want to remind us about some safety again?
Yeah. So we just talked about safety. You know, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's archery season, so most of us are up in a tree stand. So wear that harness. That's the big thing. So
there's all kinds of ways, all kinds of devices out there that you can invest in to help you put that ladder stand up.
Right.
You know, we had one guy fall out of a ladder stand because he leaned it up against a tree and didn't secure it, so he climbed up on the top step to secure it.
Gone. Just be safe. You know, I mean, your life's not worth it, or spending the rest of your life in a wheelchair or something like that. I mean, you know, just spend a little money on the right equipment and use it.
Exactly. And, you know Ricky Perrin?
No.
You know Ricky? So. You know Ricky. He's moved up to Maine, I believe. You know, he fell twice.
Yeah.
He lived in Carroll County. He fell in Carroll County, and it was ice on this old wooden stand, ice on the step, and he slipped on it and fell and took a stump in the gluteus maximus, was in a wheelchair for months. I mean, that was in, like, December or January, and he was in a wheelchair still in late July, August.
Yeah, so don't do that.
And then when he moved to Garrett County, he had problems with another landowner or somebody that didn't like where he was hunting and sawed through his steps on his tree stand, and he got to the top and right down again.
You never know.
I mean, you know, if you're hunting in a suburban area and somebody doesn't like you there, people are vicious sometimes.
Yeah, you never know. So, be safe.
Indeed. So, I got you. All right. Well, we're going to talk about Clyde Sports Shop. We're going to talk about Browning Firearms again. We're going to talk about, I don't know, a couple of them, something we didn't talk about before. Maybe it's going to be Browning. Maybe it'll be a rifle. I think it'll be a rifle this time since we're talking about deer hunting. Let's talk about the X-Bolt rifle. The X-Bolt is extremely accurate. Now, the X-Bolt grew out of the old A-Bolt, which I have a very accurate A-Bolt, which I love, and 300 Win Mag. But the X-Bolt, I'll tell you what, extremely accurate bolt-action shotgun. It comes in bolt-action rifle. Good grief. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. It's got an adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine. You put this gun up to your shoulder, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that this gun is worth the price. You put a good optics on that gun, the X-Bolt, and you're ready for any kind of big game. And it comes in all the deer calibers, all the big game calibers. You know, mine happens to be 300 Win Mag, and, you know, it shoots like a dream at least 200 yards and further if I want it to be. So let's talk about that. And then, of course, there's the AB3, the Hunter rifle. It's a package design with a Nikon Buckmaster scope, a 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope installed from the factory, 243, 308, 270, all the way up to 300 Win Mag. It is a very economically priced rifle combination from Browning, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108 is the phone number, and we'll be right back after this.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, Dorian heading up off the New England coast and towards Nova Scotia for the fifth landfall this weekend, leaving a trail of destruction behind from Carolinas, of course, down to the Bahamas. Our rain chances have dropped now. The clouds are leaving us behind with sunshine. The wind speed's relaxing today, 84 degrees. 61 our low tonight. And sunshine on Sunday with a high of 83. Monday and Tuesday, sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s, lows in the 60s. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Mom, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good.
Relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Prostate cancer is a leading cause of cancer-related death in American men. It is rarely found in men under age 50. Most men with prostate cancer will survive it. However, in men under age 55, prostate cancer may be more aggressive with a worse prognosis than prostate cancer in older men. Men over age 65, those with a family history of the disease, and African American men are at higher risk for prostate cancer. Early prostate cancer often causes no symptoms. If you have concerns about prostate cancer, ask your doctor about available diagnostic tests and whether they're right for you. Treatment depends on the stage of the cancer, your age, and general health, and may include active monitoring, surgery, radiation therapy, or other methods. Talk to your doctor about which treatment is best for you. For more information about prostate cancer, visit radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo, one word, .org. This health reminder is from the Radiological Society of North America.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, ZZ Top. All right, final segment here, ladies and gentlemen. We're with Harry Spiker, our bear guy. And you do fur bears too, right?
I do, yeah.
Let's talk about fur bears. Are there any fishers in Garrett County?
There's a lot of fishers in Garrett County.
Okay, good. Let's go to bears.
Okay, there's bears in Garrett County,
all
too.
All right, let's talk about bears. Brian Eiler's taking the seat on this segment, so he just had the last two, so I mean, yeah. You know, we'll go with you again, of course. Hey, look, I'm coming to bear country.
Yep.
Got a tag, and I mean, I don't know yet, folks, if I did or not. But,
well, good luck.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. Maybe number four. I'd love it. So how do I hunt bears?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian covered a lot of it in the deer section. Food is the key. Look for those natural food sources. Most of the guys that hunt, and what I usually recommend is stand hunting. You find a good food source. You find good cover. If you can get where the food and the cover meet. But the key is the food source. If you're a tree stand guy, you know, you guys covered the safety aspects, but you know, get up in the tree. If not, a ground blind or a portable ground blind works.
Portable ground blind.
Great.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
You know, it helps conceal the scent a little bit and helps, you know, hide your movement some, but sit. The key is to sit. That time of year, they are moving. You know, bears are technically considered crepuscular, their most active evening and
Gesundheit.
Yeah, thank you. Dawn and dusk.
Oh, okay.
But that time of year, they are active year round.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had guys, you know, you mentioned you were there in 05. I remember a guy that year telling me that he went out for lunch. When he came back from lunch, there were bear tracks going right by his stand. Yeah, so
that doesn't surprise me.
They are just looking to fill that void in their stomach at that time of year. So,
okay.
Stand, but a lot of guys, you know, don't stand for, you know, 10, 11 hours a day. That's tough.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys will still hunt. And I will tell you, with bears, you know, you cannot fool their nose. So walk, you know, make sure the wind is in your favor.
Deer, actually,
they do.
Yeah, I think they have the best nose of all wild game.
Better than a bloodhound.
Better than a bloodhound.
Better than a bloodhound.
Yeah. So, well, you think about it. Polar bears up there in the Arctic, how do they smell a seal from, you know,
miles away,
30 miles away, whatever, you know?
Right. That's
seal.
Right.
Are you in the mood for heart seal today?
They are. You know, I tell people, I smell fruit salad. I think it smells good. A bear doesn't smell fruit salad. He smells honeydew, cantaloupe, cherries, watermelon. You know, his nose picks it apart.
Really?
It's you know, we are visual creatures. They are olfactory creatures.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just how they experience their world. But so if you're going to still hunt, then make sure the wind is in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try and do it, of course, when conditions are right, wet ground or whatever, so you know, you're not making a lot of noise. Because they are really, for their size, for the fact that they are the biggest, baddest thing in the woods, they don't know that they are. And they run at the first sign of something different.
They're also very, very quiet.
They are. I tell people they move through like either like a ghost or a freight train. They're either going to be silent or they are going to rock your world.
First bear hunt ever, Canada, wilds of New Brunswick. Smelled a bear.
Yep.
Never saw him. Smelled him three times. Knew he was coming around me to my right.
Yep.
Never saw him. Heard him. The last time I heard him was when he was about 10 yards behind me going. I didn't turn around, but I should have. Now that I know that their eyesight is not that good, I could have slowly turned around and seen them, right?
Yeah, their eyesight's not as bad as people make out.
Oh,
it's similar to yours and mine. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you probably made a good choice.
Not turning around? Yeah. Well, he knew I was there. So,
oh, no doubt. So, no doubt.
Yeah, he was sniffing me.
But. Yeah, but there are a couple other methods that people use out there to hunt. I mean, you can... put drives on is a real popular method in Pennsylvania. It's how they hunt them up there.
No question.
But here you're limited to the people on the permit, but
right.
You can get multiple groups together if you want to drive out a laurel thicket or a clear cut or something like that. Get two or three groups together if you know other guys that have tags, or even two guys pushing towards one stander. It can be effective because a lot of those bears, especially a lot of those big bears, they get pressure. And keep in mind, this season is timed right after the early muzzleloader deer season, too.
Right.
So they've been pressured.
They've been pushed, yeah.
So they
and right before turkey season.
And right before turkey season.
Yeah.
There's only so much time in the fall.
Exactly,
But, I mean, a lot of those guys will just
no bait, nope. Not allowed.
Right. Baiting is not allowed. No hounds. That's right.
Right, okay.
And that's why we put the big advantage is the timing of the season.
The season, sure.
Pennsylvania season is until closer to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the same week as Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and some of the females are denned up at that time,
right.
And ours all should be available. So some guys have done predator hunting tactics as well, where they use a predator collar and try and call them in. I have not heard of it being real effective
like
here.
Like a wounded rabbit or something
right.
like that, rather than...
Or a fawn bleat.
Fawn bleat would be good.
A fawn bleat is a popular one. Out west, they use that pretty effectively to bear hunt. Here, I haven't heard of it being used effectively a lot, but it's not been the most popular technique either. So might be worth, if you're bored and... Not doing well one way. You
middle
might try.
Middle of a warm day. Huh?
That's right.
Sitting there falling asleep.
Yeah, that's
I think
right.
I get the phone call out.
There you go.
You're not allowed to bake, but you know if you make a bacon and pastrami sandwich for lunch,
fry the bacon up on spot, right?
Triple decker. with a fish fillet on top.
Just remember, no baiting.
No baiting, right. Did we ask you for comments?
No,
we didn't. That's why you're sitting over there. But yeah. No, I mean, people have been cited for, you know, taking donuts out and bagels and bread and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. And the thing is, at that time of year, you don't need to. A little bit of homework, find that natural food source the bears want to eat that time of year.
That's right. What about water?
Water isn't as big of a deal. I would say cover is more important. If you're not finding the food source, find the cover. You know, again, these critters, they're reclusive. They're shy. They like the thick cover. And the other thing that we've learned, actually one of the top takeaways I learned from a GPS collar study we did years ago is steep slopes.
Really?
Steep slopes are just like thick cover to bears because people tend to not go on them. So the bears spend a lot of time on those steep slopes. So
we hunted on the uphill side of Bear Creek.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're told you bring the biggest gun you've got because you do not want that bear going down over that cliff.
Right.
You'll never get it.
Right.
And I took that. The one I shot actually was in the evening. We didn't recover till morning because our landowner said, if you don't see that bear go down, we're not pushing him.
Right.
So number one, if he's wounded, we don't want anybody getting hurt.
Right.
Number two, Pennsylvania's that way, West Virginia's that way, and right in front of them is Bear Creek.
Yep.
And all three of those are very bad options.
Right.
I said, yes, sir. We'll wait till morning.
I know who you're talking about. He was a very knowledgeable man.
I think he's got the record for most bears, doesn't he?
He probably does.
He is six.
Yeah, he's been around the world hunting bears.
Yep. I mean, for Maryland.
Yeah.
I know he's killed six in Maryland. He's passed now.
Yeah. Right.
But great guy. Great guy.
Agreed.
At least nine killed on his property during his lifetime. So, but I'll tell you, if you pulled a permit, you wanted to hunt on his farm, guess who your sub-permittee was?
The guy who got six.
He's either your landowner sub-permittee or your sub-permittee.
That's right.
And I was happy with that.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, one of the ones he shot was on my sub-permittee.
Right. I remember that.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Good memories.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's about. So.
Absolutely. That is what it's about.
But I'm interested in the predator calling thing with the with the fawn call or something like that. That's an interesting concept because they are opportunists. They will take a deer.
They are. And at that time of year, again, they're actively looking for food. So it certainly would be worth a try.
Have you ever seen one on a roadkill?
I've seen them on deer carcasses, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not necessarily roadkill.
Yeah, right.
Cut piles maybe or something like that.
Right. I have. And keep in mind, you know, that early muzzleloader season is right before
that.
But I have also talked to people who have been watching over gut piles and
nothing happened.
It didn't do anything for them.
Yeah. I referenced Ricky Perrone again.
Yeah.
Ricky shot a doe with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And the doe, as they will do, shot with a bow, ran down in a creek bank.
Right.
And he found it in the creek with a bear trying to drag it up the other side.
Yeah.
And Ricky said, "That's my deer." Proceeded to yell at the sow bear.
Well,
he wasn't that smart, apparently, but, you know, I think that bear would have been, if that would have been me, enjoy your meal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'll check it in, but enjoy your meal.
That's right.
So, wow. Yeah, Ricky didn't let any old bear take his deer. So.
That's him.
Oh, man. Jeez. Anyway, all right. Well, we only got a couple minutes left. Any other comments on the bear? I mean, let's talk about a little bit of safety. You got to wear orange, right?
Yep, got to wear orange. And I tell you, in Western Maryland, where the bear season takes place, even if you are hunting deer with a bow, if you don't have a bear tag, you have to have orange on during the bear season.
During the bear season, that's right.
The junior hunter day does not fall then.
No.
If you're bow hunting, then you need to wear orange because there are, you know, people out there with rifles.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that people ask me about are what rifle, what caliber to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what I typically recommend is whatever you are comfortable with. The regulations say any device that's legal for deer hunting is legal for bear hunting. Mm-hmm. So it's the same prerequisites. I tend to shy away from the 223, you know, and, you know, that small range down there.
Yeah.
But other than that,
250.
I mean, shot placement is key with these critters. Mm-hmm. And so I say use, you know, I've had guys come from shotgun counties and ask me, what caliber rifle should I buy? And I tell them, if I were you, I'd hunt with the shotgun that you hunt deer with.
Yeah, exactly.
And, in fact, you know, in my state truck, I've got a shotgun for, you know, bear situations.
Right.
They're very effective.
Oh, yeah. I've shot my first one with a shotgun, 12-gauge slug. Shot my second one with a muzzle loader.
Yep.
It was happened to be a 404 grain power belt, but and well, I mean, I sighted it in. You
absolutely.
Know? And the third one was with the 300 Win Mag. So
you need one with a bow or a crossbow now.
Perhaps. And a spear. Jump on them season.
Yeah. Try that. See. Let me know how it works out.
I'm good. I'm good. But no, I mean, but. My landowner always advised the heaviest caliber you're comfortable with, you know, and I said, should I bring the 270 or should I bring the 300? He said, bring a 300. He hunted, if you recall, with a
375 Weatherby. Right? Or 375
Weatherby.
Yeah, that's right.
375
Weatherby. That's
right.
Keep in mind, he's also a grizzly and polar bear hunter.
Exactly. So. I get it. Yeah, I get it. But anyway, look. Hey, Brian, thank you for joining us this morning. Brian Eiler, our deer project leader. Harry Spiker, our bear and fur bearer. If it has bear in it, he's in charge of it. Rabbits and squirrels, too. He does rabbits and squirrels? Really? Can you use squirrels for bears? Can you use squirrels for bear bait?
Not allowed to bait.
Is it squirrel season?
It is squirrel season.
Well, if he happens to find that carcass. All right. Hey, folks, we're just having a little fun here at the end. We thank you for joining us this morning, and hope you enjoyed it.